want to tell of his power every day, every hour. I want to lift up that wonderful name. I want to lift up the name of Jesus. I want to sing of my joy since he came. I want to tell of his power every day, every hour. I want to lift up that wonderful name. Oh, I want Come, oh, and magnify the Lord.
Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. I'm glad to be here this morning. How about y'all? It's good to have Sister Audrey Labry right back there, sitting next to Sister Gaylor. I guess you met Brother Jerry yesterday, Brother Jerry York, and he invited her to church, and here she is. Thank God for that. We're thankful that you're here today, and we hope we can make you feel welcome, and we want you to come back. And then Sister Gaylor and the kids, like was announced in Bible study this morning, we're thankful that they're here also. Let's give them a big hand. Hallelujah. And we're thankful for all of God's people here today. Brother Joe, Sister Thompson's son, we're glad that he's here, aren't we?
I might just make an announcement right here concerning Sister Gaylor and the children. Brother Gaylor's still on the truck. We're hoping he can get off that truck and find a local job here right away within the next month or so. But most of you know their house burned and they lost everything they own. And so I asked Sister Jennifer Fisher to help us just by, if she hadn't contacted, she probably will. If we can just try to find enough things, you know, to, they don't, you know, in other words, they don't have anything. So, you know, we just need, you know, maybe just some things that we're not using in our own home. We may, later on, we could do, you know, help them with a housewarming or something. But right now, I feel like if we'll just help them with, you know, there's four of them, so they need four cups, they need four glasses, they need some bowls, and they need some spoons and forks and knives, and they don't have to have a whole lot. It don't all have to match right now. They need some, you know, some linen and towels and washcloths and things like that. And they're willing to take what you'd put in the garage sale, you know, or what you'd be willing just to bless them with. And so Sister Jennifer is going to be making a list, and that way she can tell you, well, we already got that. Do you have any of this? You know, because we still need some of this. So if she hadn't contacted you and you want to, like, for an example, Sister Brother Curtis and Sister Karen had a bedroom suit for that would work for Steve. And so anyway, let's see what we can do to help them out. And we're trying to find them a place to live. In fact, that's how we, Brother Jerry, met Sister Larrabee. I believe that's right. Sister Audrey Larrabee. And her son, I think, lives in California, and she's helping him to rent his place. He's got a place here, and she helps him to rent it out. Well, anyway, they met her yesterday by looking at a rental property that she's trying to take care of for her son. And so here the Gaylors already are instrumental in getting somebody to visit our church. Well, they ain't even hardly got here themselves, so thank God. Looks like the Lord's working with them. Amen. I just thought I'd mention that to you. And you could contact Sister Fisher if you want to, if she hasn't got a hold of you.
All right. Good. All right. And we want to go before the Lord in prayer. Let's remember Brother Fred Stewart. He had surgery on his knee. I think he came home today, didn't he? Did he come home today? Does anybody know?
He's in Sykeston. You talking about Jennifer?
No, Brother Stewart. Did he come home today?
He's supposed to go home from the hospital today.
Okay. Huh?
Hopefully
he's supposed to come home today, so let's pray for him. Let's pray for Sister Angie. You're having surgery Thursday? Okay, let's pray for her. Let's pray for Brother Junior. And keep praying for my
Brother
mother.
Brother Stewart, for those that don't know, had a partial knee replacement, and in his left knee, I believe it is, isn't it?
And a whole knee, yeah, it's in one, and some
anyway, He's doing good, though, and they're saying it was successful. So people might want to know. But keep praying for him.
All right. Brother Shane. All right. Let's pray for Brother Sister Lisa. Your ears and what else? The school year. All right. Sister Abraham. Yeah. Brother Jonathan and the rest of her family. Sister Kelly. All right. Let's remember the Brother Dave and Sister Gail and Sister Elsie are up in Republic right now. They'll be coming back tonight. Let's pray for them. Also, Eshawn's up there, too. What else do we have?
Let's keep remembering Brother Ron Johnson's wife.
And yeah.
Keep praying for her. Also, Sister Larrabee may not, you know, she's just feeling on this, so she may not feel completely relaxed and comfortable, but she's undergoing chemotherapy right now, and I'm sure she'd appreciate it. Among other needs that she has in her life, I visited with her last night on the phone. I would like the whole church to really be praying for her and her situation.
All right. Any other prayer requests? Sister Julie. Special unspoken prayer request.
Brother Ray Valdez.
Yes, he was mentioned.
Was he mentioned? Okay.
Yeah, a couple of unspoken
prayer requests. Brother Golden. All right. I'll tell you what, there's been many a time I've come to church with a migraine headache and went home feeling good. That doesn't mean that it'll happen to you, but it can. God can touch you.
Linda Fisher had it. She wanted to say something.
Oh, Sister Linda Fisher.
Were you going to say something a minute ago?
All right, this Wednesday. All right, Sister Audrey. I'm sorry? Unsaved loved ones, yes. I think we could all raise our hand to that and say we have at least one. All right, they're building a home. Let's pray for them. God will help them. I saw a hand over here somewhere. Who was it? Okay. Sister Wilkins? Okay. All right. Okay. All right, let's pray for that. Anything else? If we could have the, if there's another prayer request, let's have the ushers come forward, and we'd like to receive your tithes and your offerings. I'd like to remember and remind you of the pledges that was made before the minister's meeting. If you need a envelope, the ushers would be happy to accommodate you. Why don't we stand and let's take these prayer requests before the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, for your mercy. God, that you're sitting on the throne and that you hear us today, Lord, and that you're able to meet all of our needs, God, according to your riches and glory, that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Lord, God, we know that you care for us. We know that our care and concern is most in your mind. God, would you answer these prayers according to your will, God? All those who were named, Lord, that need a touch in their body, Lord, Brother Ray and Brother Andrew Smith and Sister Audrey and Sister Angie Perry, Lord, God, oh God, oh God, Brother and Sister Dotson, Lord, Jesus, Jesus, and Brother and Sister Gaylor, Lord, help them to be settled in, Lord, to meet their needs here. God, oh God, these unspoken prayer requests, Lord, those that's called out for their families and loved ones, God, keep your hand on their life, Lord. Help us the rest of this service, God. Direct us and lead us and bless this offering. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
But Shane, come help me on this one. This song. On your fiddle. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Despised by the world as a wondrous attraction for me, for the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. Cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will cling to the old rugged cross and stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see, which was on Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Despised by the world as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Appreciate the opportunity that God has given me. I'm glad one day that he dealt with me. Jesus said, "No man comes unto me except my Father draws him." You can't make up your mind that you're going to serve God before God deals with you. God has to deal with you. The Lord knows your heart, and He knows your mind and your spirit. And He sees whether or not you're in a condition that you could serve Him, you could live for Him. God has a plan of eternal salvation for man, but we don't know how to be saved. We just have to get in, we have to yield to Him, and we have to be instructed of Him. We have to learn His ways. And so we can't even decide to be saved until the Lord begins to deal with us, reach out to us, touch us, and draw us unto Him. And it's a privilege to know that God called you. In the book of Revelations, it tells us that those that are with Him and the final battle of victory over sin, and that they are the called, chosen, and faithful. You're called of God. When God begins to draw you, He's calling you. Many people have felt the call of God, but they never answered it. They resist it. They come to church, they hear God, they feel God dealing with them, they hear God's call, you know, the Lord's dealing with them, and they're called of God. But until you answer Him in the calling and say, "Yes, Lord, I will. I'll accept You as my Savior. I'll come to You and I'll serve You. I'll obey You. I'll begin to learn of You." It's a learning process to come to God and be chosen of Him. You're not chosen until you say yes. And you can go back to just being called if you quit saying yes. Because when you first say yes to the Lord, you don't know what all God's calling you to. You don't understand His full plan. And so it's the plan of salvation is provisional. It's provided that you continue to say yes. God won't force you. You can check out any time. However, you are God's child when you're born of Him. And once you're God's child, He loves you, and He never will leave you, forsake you. He'll follow you to the ends of the earth. The psalmist said, if I go to the uttermost parts of the sea, I'm going to look at that in the 139th Psalm. They'll put it up there for us. Said, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. In other words, God knows what'll. He knows what. He knows when you've been low and He knows when you've been high. He knows what'll take you down low and He knows what'll bring you up high too. Thou understand my thought afar off. That's how wise God is. It doesn't take God very long. If He wants to hone in on somebody, He can know everything about them. Just He knows their thoughts. Your thoughts are louder than spoken words to God. God can hear your thoughts. That's sometimes I wish that wasn't true, but I know it is. I pray silently sometimes. Do you ever do that? Think God hears you? Sure He does. It's funny how sometimes we think God can hear our thoughts when we're praying. You know, we're not opening our mouth, we ain't saying nothing. We're just praying with our mind. We know God hears that. But when we're doing other things, when we're thinking other things that's not right, we thank God. Thank God He don't know about that. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. You know everything about me, Lord. You know the things behind me. You know my past. You know my future. You know where I'm at right now. You know where I could be, where I'm not. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me. Here's some more interesting things. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. If you're God's child, even though you may want to check out sometimes of being chosen, God knows. He knows your future. And He prohibits. It's interesting how God works. Some things God will prohibit. Some things He'll let you go ahead. He'll let you go ahead and experience error. He'll let you do things that are in error. Especially if you're not listening to Him, if you're not seeking Him, if you're not guided. I made that statement in Bible study this morning that the Spirit of the Lord won't lead you where the Word of God already tells you to go. Where the Word of God tells you not to go, the Spirit of the Lord won't lead you there. To be led of God's Spirit is going to stay in line with the Word of God. And that's why sometimes we make mistakes. We don't know the Word of God well enough. And it's not the Spirit of the Lord leading us, but it's our own spirit. You know, did you ever want anything so bad or thought you wanted something so bad that you just, this has got to be right. It feels right. I love it. You know. Well, we just want to make sure that our actions, you know, are lining up with the Word of God. And that's why God's children, when they're praying, seeking God, asking God, throw up a roadblock, beset me. In other words, don't let me go. Don't let me do something that's not in your will. That's the way we are to be. Cautiously walking before the Lord. We are to be looking at it. We are to be going on a... I like to go on a caution light when I know if I don't know it's green, I like to go on a caution light. In other words, you know what comes after a caution light, don't you? It's a red light. So I'm always looking. If I'm not sure, I don't feel that I know that I know that I know that I'm walking with the Lord. And I'm walking in new, uncharted territory. I just automatically say, the light's yellow. And I'm just watching. If it turns red, I'm going to stop. I'm looking for a red light. I'm looking for flags. Looking for God to lift up, you know, a flag to let me know. But but here the psalmist is talking about the Lord. He besets you before and behind. He'll fix roadblocks behind you where you can't go back where you've been. You can't, you know, you might think you can, but you can't. By the way, God's in control whether you ever say yes to Him or not. That's the amazing part. God's in absolute control of your life whether you say yes or not. He may just let you do whatever you want to do. Just be ungodly and live your life however you want to. But He's still in control. He's in control of everything in this world. He may let things go and He may judge things. He'll finally get around to judging things. He'll let a person become, He even lets His children become ungodly if they want to become ungodly. Only difference is if He loves you, you're His child, He'll chastise you and even scourge you, the Bible says. He'll not only whip you, he'll beat you half to death. Did you know I'd rather be God's child and have a scourging than I had to be out in the world without Him? Amen. I'd rather be serving Him. I'd rather miss God and get a whipping from God than I had just be out in the ungodly world serving my own flesh and doing whatever I wanted to do. Because someday I'm going to meet up with my Maker. Someday I'm going to meet judgment. Someday I'm going to answer for all of that ungodly spirit and mind that I had and deeds that I committed. Someday I'll have to answer. And God created this world and He created everybody in it for the purpose of getting His everlasting family out of it, and the rest of it He's going to do away with. The rest of it He's going to judge. Well, I love what God's created and what He's let me experience in this world, and I can tell you this. Let me add something to it. I've experienced enough of the world when I was younger. Matter of fact, I experienced the world not only when I was younger, but when the world experience was a much better experience than what young people are experiencing today. It wasn't as complicated. It wasn't as corrupt. Sin was funner then than it is now. More fun, I know. But I'm in Arkansas, and I got to do some things for y'all's sake. I know y'all. No, I'm just kidding. I come up saying funner more than I ever did say more fun. It comes natural to me. I have to work on that. But serving God, I can tell you from experience, is far, far better than living without Him. It's far more enjoyable. I don't miss the world. I don't miss the things of the world. The more I serve Him, the sweeter He gets, the greater He becomes, and the richer the things of God become to me. And I know it's a difficulty. There's a difficulty when you make a decision to serve God. Some of you young people, Brooklyn, now you listen to me. I'm talking to you. Yeah, you're a little Holy Ghost girl now. So this is for you, what I'm talking about. Some of you young people, you're just entering phases of life where your vision of God God's plan, your vision of the body of Christ is not clear. And you are going to have to get this vision for yourself. You are going to have to, you got to get an understanding for yourself. And you're living in a world that's corrupt and it's difficult. You young girls, I worry about you young girls than I do boys. Let me tell you why. Because most all you young girls are going to get married. I don't see one of you. Even Brooklyn will get married probably. Yeah. But I have very little doubt about Rachel Stewart and Skylar. And I'm not sure about Ariel yet. No, I'm more sure about Ariel than I am Skylar. The boys ain't got a chance around her, do they, Skylar? See, Skylar, she's shy. She kind of holds herself back, makes the boys, wonder whether or not they could really, whether there's a chance. Ariel, she lets them all know there's an absolute chance here. You boys, I want you to know. She's just outwards, what I'm saying. My wife's already getting on me. She's just an extrovert, and Ariel's an introvert. I mean, opposite to that. Ariel's an extrovert, and Skylar's an introvert. They're both becoming good girls, though. I've seen great changes in their life since they've been here. Hadn't y'all? I ain't gonna say nothing about Alex. I know better. But these girls, my granddaughter Rachel, she'll get married. None of these girls are thinking about becoming nuns. Or, that ain't even entered their mind. They haven't thought about just serving God for the rest of my life, giving myself over to Him wholly and completely. But the reason I worry about these girls is because, did you know whoever a girl marries, that's the way her life's going to go, however, wherever that man takes her. Whatever that man does, her life is in direction. She's going to follow the direction of that man, and her life is going to be formed. She's not going to form his life. He's going to form hers. And that's why it's far more critical for a girl than it is for a boy. I want these boys in here, I want them to marry in the church. I want them to get a girl in the body of Christ. And I want them to lead them in the way of the body. I don't want none of you boys to marry girls and take them out in the world or take them off somewhere and get cause their life to be corrupted and them miss out on the opportunity that God has called them to be a part of. Because that can happen. But you girls, you've got to make a choice. And it gets clouded. Your choices get clouded. But you ought to be looking for a boy that's dedicated to God and in the body and has a vision of the body of Christ and wants to be a part of it and wants to keep you and his lives in it and a part of it. And a young man that's willing to submit himself to authority, minister. He's got a vision. Let me tell you something. You young people can have a vision today. You can have a vision of the body of Christ. God can illuminate you. He can touch you. He can touch your mind. He can touch your ears. He can touch your heart and cause you to know what is the body of Christ and what isn't. He can cause you to understand truth, the truth of God's Word, where you won't be deceived. You better be careful about choosing some man that don't know how to be led of God or how to submit his life over to the things of God. You better be careful, because that man will cause you hell. Your life, you'll live a life of sorrow and trouble, problems. And that's why you've got to be careful about being unequally yoked. You know, that was a law in the Old Testament. Did you know there was a law in the Old Testament that God put in Israel that said that you couldn't plow a field with an ox and a donkey hooked together? You couldn't put them together in the same yoke. Do you know why he said that? Brooklyn, are you listening to me? All right, I want to make sure. The reason, you know why, Brooklyn, you couldn't have a donkey and an ox or a cow plowing the same field together, hooked to the same plow? You know why? Well, do you or don't you? Shake your head no or yes. You do? You don't either. You little wart. She tried to keep from getting in trouble. I'm going to tell you why. Because a donkey and an ox have two different natures, and they can't work together. That donkey will begin to fight to get out of that. To get out of that harness. To get out of that hook together. They won't step together. They won't walk in the same sequence. And they'll be pulling against one another. And they can't pull a plow and it be able to plow a straight row. They're not in harmony. Their nature's not in harmony. And that's the same way when a godly person marries someone that's ungodly. When you marry an ungodly person, that's why the Bible's strict about that. It was strict that, did you know, under the law that a woman in Israel could not marry anyone except they was in Israel. You had to marry in the called family of God. That was a law. But a man could marry. He could marry someone outside. You know why God permitted that? Because he knew he was a Jew, and he knew when he married that woman, he'd bring her into Judaism and she'd have to serve his God. Because he knew he'd lead. But the woman wasn't permitted to do that because a woman would have to follow that man. That's why a lot of girls in the house of God marries outside of the kingdom of God, and that man takes her out into the world and causes her to live a life of misery. Let me tell you, sin, it'll take you further than you want to go. It'll cause you to pay a price higher than you ever wanted to pay. And so, you girls, you better be extra careful. You better be looking. Let me tell you something else. If you find a boy that you can tell what to do and you can talk to him any way you want to talk to him and he won't correct you and he'll put up with that, you don't want that boy. You don't want a man that you can run his life. You know this whole world's messed up that way? This whole world is in an upside down order. The order of marriage out in this world is mostly upside down. You know why? Because most men have become they've become wimps. That's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I meet very few ungodly men that aren't wimps. They're just big wimps. They can't stand for nothing. They don't have any backbone to stand up for righteousness or stand for right. And women have had to take over and run things in this world. I wouldn't be at all surprised. We don't have a woman as a United States president before this thing's over with. You say, well, what's wrong with that? There's plenty wrong with it. God didn't create women to run things. God created women to be helpmates. And they're no one else can do their thing. Is it Leona? Is that right? Huh? Yeah. She hooked in on that. I'm so glad you're here. I wish we had 100 more just like you. But God's got a place for women. It's not to be led around by an ungodly man. That wasn't God's desire. It wasn't God's plan. But it was that you be a helpmate to a man of God serving God, and that God could bless your life and bless your children, and that your children could be raised up with righteous principles. Brooklyn, are you listening to me? All right. I just want to make sure. Stay with me, okay? Okay. Make sure Rachel's listening too, okay? You help keep her awake over there. You know, if she starts texting somebody or something like that, you take her phone away from her. So, God put those righteous principles in the Bible for a reason. He put that in there it's protection. It'll protect you and help you stay under God's covering. And stay in God's purpose. And really, this scripture that I'm giving you is talking about God's children. It's not talking about the ungodly world. God is not necessarily controlling the ungodly like He does His own children. He controls them in their wickedness. Yeah, that's right. That's a job of the devil. And Satan. You see, God's going to control the wicked. God controls wickedness. He's responsible for everything. He created everything. Therefore, He's got a right to control it. He does. He even controls people in false religion. He controls all of that. He lets evil spirits take care of some jobs. God's in control. You know, get this out of your head that the devil's in charge and God's just having to run after him and try to fix up everything he's tearing up. The devil ain't doing nothing that God ain't permitting him to do. God uses all of that. He controls it. So if you young girls are wise, you'll choose a man that can stand for righteousness, can make stands, that doesn't give in to the things of the world or the temptations of the world, but he'll stand up. He'll even correct you and tell you, you're not going to do that. If you're going to be in a relationship with me, you can't do that. You can't act that way. You can't talk like that. If you can control him, and every girl. Now, Brooklyn, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear me when I say this. That girls can be strong. Every